All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, and our next guest is Jeff Stein. He writes the blog Spy Talk at the Washington Post website. Welcome back to the show, Jeff. How are you doing?
Thanks, Scott. Nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. All right, so I didn't even realize that Jane Harman, a congresswoman representing district, I'm not sure, over in Long Beach, I didn't even know she was resigning, and yet apparently the word's already got around, and you already have the reports of sad emotions coming in from Langley, Virginia, about her leaving the House of Representatives.
Well, to be fair, I speculated on that. I tried to pry a statement out of CIA on Harman's resignation, and they did not respond, but I'm quite confident, or I wouldn't have written it, that there's a lot of people upset with her leaving, because she was a staunch supporter of the agency, and as we say these days, nothing wrong with that. But she did butt heads with them on waterboarding. She was the only Democrat, I think, who in the House of the Gang of Eight who really did send them a letter and asking for explanations, and especially when it emerged that the tapes were being destroyed or had been destroyed. So, but she's known as she's called a blue dog Democrat. She's conservative on these issues, and she's been very much appreciated in the intelligence community, and which awarded her a medal in 2007.
In 2007. So now I'm trying to remember back. Was that before or after she was outed as an asset of the Israeli government? In your work.
No, I did not use the phrase an asset of the Israeli government.
No, that was me.
Yeah,
well,
she was
a compromised American congresswoman. How about that?
Well, you can use what language you choose to use. I'll just say, just repeat that what I reported back in 2009.
That was more recently than her medal. I wonder if she would still get the medal. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That she was overheard on a national security intercept, which was tracking a suspected Israeli agent here. She was overheard, according to my sources, promising to help get the charges reduced or thrown out that were standing against two members of the American, two officials of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, which is the major pro-Israeli lobby. I reported on details from the transcript in which she allegedly said she would help. It's important, I think, to add that no one has been indicted, that Ms. Harman was not charged with any wrongdoing, and neither was the man on the other end of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's lots of reasons for this. One is that they're totally innocent, and the other one is that there were political considerations involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also reported in a follow-up, I shouldn't characterize, I should let you characterize it, but something about Haim Sabin, who heads the foundation, basically, I think, reported back to her on an overheard wiretap that he tried to threaten Nancy Pelosi with withholding funds if she didn't get the job as the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, and that Nancy Pelosi, having already been tipped off by the CIA and I guess the FBI about what was going on here in this investigation, had, I guess, given him a dressing down, and then he reported that back to Jane Harman, and they had that on wire too, right?
Well, a lot of people have Time magazine reported two years before I did that these negotiations, as you might call it, were going on, and that Chaim Saban was telling Nancy Pelosi that if she appointed Jane Harman to chair the Intelligence Committee, a lot of campaign funds would come her way. What I added to the story is a detailed description of the transcript which was intercepted by U.S. security agencies.
Mm-hmm. And then, now, what was the role of, because it wasn't just a separate thing, she was apparently had gone to the New York Times on behalf of the Bush White House asking them to not print the revelations of the illegal wiretapping, and yet that mm-hmm. tied into this case somehow.
Yeah, I mean, the aspect that ties into what I reported is that CIA Director Porter Goss was notified, and this is the way the procedure works, that a member of Congress was picked up on a national security wiretap, and that she and or the Speaker had to be notified, and the Speaker then was Denny Hastert, that she had been picked up inadvertently in a conversation that was targeted by the NSA and FBI. They were not investigating her, as she wrongly claimed, to express her outrage after I reported my story. She was not a target of any wiretap. It was the fellow on the other end who was the target.
And it was a legit FISA warrant, not one of these NSA illegal ones that were in question anyway.
That's right. That's my information. She claimed that she was the victim of a illegal wiretap, which was ironic because she had supported that. Those taps, and according to other reports, she had gone to the New York Times to lobby them against revealing that. And where my stories tied in, my follow-up stories, where my information was that the then Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez decided not to pursue this prosecution because they needed Jane, as he put it, to help support the administration on the illegal wiretaps, which were about to be publicized by
the aforementioned political considerations.
Right. In which she did support them on that. So, you know, it's a very convoluted story.
Well, and she may have been successful, actually. She may have been, I don't know if anyone has publicly characterized someone in a position to know what her effect was, you know, on the process, but it was decided at the New York Times to hold that story for a year after Bush was reelected.
Yeah. Well, I doubt it was that one factor.
And at the expense of her own party, actually, too.
I doubt that Jane Harman was the only person who felt that way.
Well, but she was one of a few powerful people who contacted the New York Times with her concerns.
That's right?
Right.
Yeah. As far as we know. Right.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong about this. She challenged you to a foot race and made a big joke out of it. As you said, she wrongly made it a scandal about her being illegally wiretapped somehow, and the whole thing just died. The Post and the Times both confirmed your story and added details, and then it was gone forever. Foot race. It was trampled in a foot race. That never happened.
She's quite an avid runner. And she didn't challenge me, actually. Well, she put out a press release challenging me about a couple of hours before the 5-mile run. And so I responded in my blog that I would love to have done that, but I had too short notice to get my sneakers on.
There you go.
And I challenged her to a counter race because she was giving a keynote address at the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee that weekend. I challenged her to a race from her office to there.
I had missed that one. I'm sorry, I didn't know that. That's a great way for the story to disappear into the ether right there. But so I'll remember that as part of my narrative about this story. That, as best I understand it, due to you, from now on. That's great. And she, did she even answer you on that?
No.
She didn't even answer. Oh.
No, she got some very good PR advice. And after after what was a devastating interview, I thought, by NPR's Robert Siegel, who really boxed her around the ring and really interrogated her on various contradictions in her answers and falsities in her answers. She got some good public relations advice and, you know, challenged me to a race and sort of made light of it. Was very dismissive towards my stories. And the carnival moved on. You know, the dogs barked and the carnival moved on. And, she was able to survive, survive it. I mean, you know, it's not as easy as, you know, a story like this is very convoluted, very hard to tell, you know, who's wrong and was a crime committed, although Justice Department attorneys determined that a crime had been committed. But this is not like finding a naked boy in her bed, you know, or a dead woman, you know. I mean, this is a, you know, which the public can sort of get their teeth into. Or, you know, being on the take, you know, or stealing from the till. Those are the kinds of allegations that, you know, explode into a scandal that can bring a politician down. But in this case, it was involved in layers and layers and layers of secrecy, wiretaps, counterterrorism programs, etc. And I think it was a big newspaper story, television story, for a couple of weeks.
But nothing like what would actually, you know, amount to accountability. As we said, as you know, a foot race and then it's over. PR wins the day over substance.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I know you're short on time and I'm actually out of it too, but I really appreciate your time on the show. Did you want to say one last thing? Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say that when you're reporting on the Israeli, anything to do with the Israeli lobby in the United States, you're really swimming against the current. And it's just really a hard area to report on and get clarification and keep the story going.
Yep, indeed. This is just one more of the many great examples. All right, well, thanks very much for your work, everybody. That's Jeff Stein over at Spy Talk, the blog at the Washington Post. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Scott. I always appreciate it. Bye-bye.